And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. You can also listen 24/7 on demand on your own time by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. If you would be so generous to do so, rate or review the show, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also listen on the website at nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. More from them coming up a little bit later on this morning. Well, it's not often on the show that we have got things that are happening live across the country. 7 o'clock in the morning, typically, things still kind of waking up here in the United States. But the president this morning is not in the United States. He is overseas this morning at the NATO summit in the Netherlands, The Hague, where that is taking place. And just a moments ago, sitting down with the NATO Secretary General and discussing a variety of issues, taking some questions from the media as well, and some of those questions from the media, of course, surrounding the ongoing conflict between the United States, Israel, and Iran. This is now officially day two of those ceasefire operations. As we were on the air with you yesterday morning, President Donald Trump emerging from the White House, making his way to Marine One with some very choice words for the leaders of Iran and Israel, as reports yesterday early morning were that the ceasefire was not necessarily going through in its entirety due to the fact of some ongoing conflict between the two countries. Trump apparently then got on the phone with Netanyahu, told them to turn his planes around, and that ceasefire has held since that point. I want to take you live to the Netherlands this morning, where President Trump is taking questions from reporters. Let's listen and see what's going on over there.
President, how is the Iran-Israel ceasefire going, in your opinion?
I think very good. Israel came back yesterday. I was so proud of them because they came back. You know, they went out because they felt it was a violation. And technically, they were right, but it just wouldn't have worked out very well. And they brought the planes back. They had gone on to another journey because there was a little bit of a violation. And I said, you got to get them back. And they came back, and it was a great thing. And it's going very well.
I'm going to stop the president right there. Even again, I mentioned this yesterday morning, but I can't overstate this enough. With everything that has gone on over the last, just call it 72 hours or so, the president still actively pushing for a ceasefire, still actively pushing for peace. The United States had ballistic missiles shot at a military installation with more than 10,000 active duty U.S. service members in Qatar Monday afternoon. The president then brokered a ceasefire deal that night, and it is in effect this morning. I saw yesterday that a member of Congress nominated President Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize over the efforts that have gone on between Israel, the United States, and Iran. He should absolutely be nominated and receive the Nobel Peace Prize for that. You can almost guarantee that that isn't going to happen because he's not a flaming leftist, and that's the only people they give the Nobel Peace Prize to. But really, when you look at peace, when you look at this situation that has unfolded over the last couple of days, President Donald Trump, and again, strong United States leadership, which, you know, for a period of time was not something that you really thought about, but you watched the last 4 years with a weak, incompetent, useless leader in the Oval Office. This is really the difference between having strong United States leadership and not. So we'll continue with the president in The Hague this morning.
What is her response to the foreign minister saying she still wants to enrich nuclear?
Hello, Katie. She's so great, this one. Any questions
she has,
I'll answer. Well, maybe I better not say that. What was your question?
What is your response to the Iranian foreign minister continuing to say Iran will enrich uranium and pursue nuclear weapons?
Well, I don't know if they've said that, but I'll tell you, the last thing they want to do is enrich anything right now. They want to recover. And we won't let that happen, number one. Militarily, we won't. I think we'll end up having somewhat of a relationship with Iran. I see it. Look, I've had a relationship over the last 4 days. They agreed to the ceasefire. And it was a very equal agreement. They both said, that's enough. They both said it. But no, they won't do that. The last thing they want to do, Katie, is enrich. They're not looking to. They're not. Can you imagine after all of that, they're going to say, "Oh, let's go and do a bomb." You know, there could be a day in the future where, and then somebody else taking our place will be saying, "Don't do it," and maybe they won't do it as well. I don't know, but they're not going to have a bomb, and they're not going to enrich. And we believe all of the stuff is down there. We don't think they had nearly the time, because to get that out is a very difficult thing. It's not like moving a package or taking this carpet up and moving it. It's very difficult. It's very dangerous to do. We believe it's all down there. We had a tremendous victory, a tremendous hit. And because of that, I don't think they would have been down there, because they knew we were coming. When they know we're coming, they're not going to be down in that, you know, 30 stories underground. No, I think it was just a tremendous victory for everybody, including Iran. Look, you know, they've got a country, and they've got oil, and they're very smart people, and they can come back. Israel got hit very hard, especially the last couple of days. Israel was hit really hard. Those ballistic missiles, boy, they took out a lot of buildings, and they've been great. Bibi Netanyahu should be very proud of himself, and they've really been great. But they're not going to be building bombs for a long time.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to the intelligence reports saying that the Iranian nuclear sites were only partially devastated, not entirely?
Yeah, well, they said.
Let's get into this. We'll hear the president's answer here, but let's get into this, because this, of course, has been one of the big stories run by the fake news over the last day or so. I mean, these people just have absolutely no shame. The president of the United States takes decisive action against the Iranian nuclear program, which, by the way, I had Fox News on this morning, and they played a clip of Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, all four presidents, three of them Democrats, one of them a Republican, all making the point that Iran cannot have nuclear weapons, that the Iranian dictatorship, the Ayatollah, should not have the ability to enrich uranium and to build nuclear weapons. All the way back, the Bill Clinton clip was from the late 90s. I think it was either 98 or 99. So going back 25 years, all of the presidents, Fox News had a great clip of all of the presidents saying the exact same thing as Trump. Trump actually did it. And because he actually did it, now there's a problem. And so now you've got these media outlets, specifically the New York Times, who yesterday claimed that they had received a classified report, surprise, surprise, indicating that the strike on the Iranian nuclear facilities conducted by the United States Saturday night wasn't successful. These individuals want to see President Donald Trump, and not only President Donald Trump, but I genuinely believe they want to see America fail. They want to see America fail. They have hatred in their heart for the United States of America. They despise the United States, and it's obvious. Look at what they write. Look at what they report. Look at what they say. They despise the country that you and I love. They despise the country that men and women in uniform all over the world are fighting for this morning. So this is what this reporter at the NATO summit is talking about. A classified preliminary U.S. intelligence report, which is, again, classified, suggested that the Trump administration's initial assessment of the damage to Iran's nuclear program was, quote, overblown. An assessment from Defense Intelligence Agency's DIA, that's the entity, the Defense Department's intelligence wing, surveyed the damage from the United States' B-2 strikes with 30,000-pound bunker buster munitions and smaller follow-up strikes from Israel's Air Force, sources told the New York Times. Based on information gathered from a United States Central Command assessment, the DIA estimated that the strikes on the nuclear facility, particularly the Fordow Fuel Enrichment Plant, which was the main site that was being targeted, set Iran's nuclear program back by less than 6 months. official speaking with the New York Times classified. The five-page report is only preliminary, and further analysis with more information is anticipated. So nobody's been in the facility. Nobody really knows what has gone on there. But because there is a preliminary DIA report that shows that the strike wasn't that successful, according to those on the left, now that's the story. No longer are we talking about how for 25 years, presidents of the United States have discussed the Iranian government not having the ability to enrich uranium and build a nuclear bomb. Trump actually did it, but, you know, it's not good enough. Trump actually did it, but, you know, Orange Man, that evil, awful, terrible Orange Man wasn't good enough for the New York Times. Wasn't good enough for those on the political left that, again, talk the hard game about Iran, unless you're, of course, talking about Obama, who gave them stockpiles of cash. Let's see. What did Joe Biden and Kamala Harris say about Iran? What was their strong message? It was one word. Don't you remember? Don't. That's what the president of the United States and the vice president of the United States had to say to the Ayatollah. Don't. D-O-N apostrophe T. Don't. That's the strong language that came out of the United States under the previous administration. Just don't. I hate the mainstream media. I try not to use that word very often because it is a word that carries influence, and a word that should give you a strong reaction. I absolutely hate the media. There is nothing in my mind that is questioning that statement. I despise and have extreme hatred for the mainstream media. The things that they say, the things that they do, and generally what they feel about you and I and the country that we love. So that's kind of the setup on this question, this report out yesterday. I'm very curious to hear what Donald Trump's reaction to this is. Here's the president at The Hague.
Said it was actually the report said it could have been very, they don't know. I mean, they did a report. I could have Pete talk to it because his department did the report. They really don't know. I think Israel's going to be telling us very soon because Bibi is going to have people involved in that whole situation. We hear it was obliteration. It was a virtual obliteration. When you take a look at the ground above, don't forget, the flame is all underground. But everything above, if you look at the before and the after picture, everything above is burned black, the trees, everything. There's one building, but that's a building that sunk substantially into the granite so that, you know, the fire goes right over it. I believe it was total obliteration. I believe they didn't have a chance to get anything out because we acted fast. If it would have taken 2 weeks, maybe, but it's very hard to remove that kind of material. Very hard and very dangerous for them to remove it. Plus, they knew we were coming. And if they know we're coming, they're not going to be down there. There aren't too many people that are going to be down there. Pete, do you have something to say about that?
Well, Mr. President, when you talk to the people who built the bombs, understand what those bombs can do and deliver those bombs, they landed precisely where they were supposed to. So it was a flawless mission.
Flawless.
Right down where we knew they needed to enter. And given the 30,000 pounds of explosives and capability of those munitions, it was devastation underneath Fordo. And the amount of munitions, six per location, any assessment that tells you it was something otherwise is speculating with other motives. And we know that because when you actually look at the report, by the way, it was a top secret report. It was preliminary. It was low confidence. All right. So this isn't, you make assessments based on what you know.
It said it could be very devastating, very serious.
Moderate to severe. Report. And we believe far more likely severe and obliterated. So this is a political motive here.
Is there a leak investigation?
Of course. We're doing a leak investigation with the FBI right now because this information is for internal purposes, battle damage assessments, and CNN and others are trying to spin it to make the president look bad when this was an overwhelming success.
We had a tremendous success, and this is the New York Times. I call it the failing New York Times. It's going to hell. And CNN, which, as you know, very few people are watching. And you would think they'd do the opposite. You would think they'd want to say, this was an unbelievable success. And the thing that hurts me is it's really demeaning to the pilots and the people that put that whole thing together, the generals. That was a perfect operation. And when you look at the holes, and this was done from 52,000 feet, there was no moon, there was no light, and they those three holes are right together. And also, and nobody talks about this, we shot 30 Tomahawks from submarines, in particular one submarine, but that was 400 miles away. Mm-hmm. And every one of those Tomahawks hit within a foot of where they were supposed to hit, took out a lot of buildings that Israel wasn't able to get. We took them out with Tomahawks. We don't even talk about that. This was a devastating attack, and it knocked them for a loop. And, you know, if it didn't, they wouldn't have settled. If they had
you
won.
You know, that's a really interesting point there by the president. And I inherently thought about that, but didn't really necessarily connect the dots. Let's just say the strike, let's go with this this New York Times leak report assessment that the failing New York Times put forward yesterday. If the attack was so minuscule, and if it really didn't have any impact, as you know, of course, these folks on the left want to claim, because they want Donald Trump to fail, a.k.a. they want America to fail. And this is a key difference. And let me make this clear. I did not like Joe Biden. I did not like Kamala Harris. I think both of them were terrible for the United States of America. I did not want them to fail. Because if they failed, which in fact they did, what did that end up leading to? It led to war between Russia and Ukraine. It led to war between Israel and Hamas operating in the Gaza Strip, another Iranian-backed terror group. It allowed tens of millions of individuals, dangerous criminals, to come into the United States illegally. It allowed our economy to falter. Right? When a president fails, regardless of their political party, whether they're a Democrat or a Republican, it is not good for America. It is not good for you and I, the citizens. And while I disagreed with Joe Biden on nearly everything, like many of you, I inherently did not want him to fail. His failure pained me. His failure had a direct result on my life and everybody else's, right? His failure to deal with the economy caused inflation to reach 9.5% during the summer of 2022. That was the result of failed economic policies out of the White House. That does not help me. When inflation is at 10%, I don't receive any benefit. You don't receive any benefit. And I think that's a quintessential difference between the left and the right, right? We support the United States of America. We want the United States to thrive. We want a successful president. The left doesn't. They want Donald Trump to fail. They want America. They want the United States to fail. And that's disgusting. These people have absolutely no shame. Jay Hills is commenting on our Rumble live chat this morning and says, "It's disgusting just how much the media hates our country's guts. They actively root against us. Looking at the Drudge Report headlines any day makes it obvious. It's sick." Of course. You know, Drudge Report has been off the handle now. Pretty much since the unfortunate passing of Rush Limbaugh. I could not tell you the last time I visited the Drudge Report. It's a terrible website. You should be using Citizen Free Press. That is the Drudge alternative and equivalent that has got phenomenal analysis of news and stories. But yeah, the media hates America, obviously. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the rest of these outlets, they want to see the president fail. And regardless of whether you agree with the president's policies, principles, ideals, if you want them to fail, you are therefore rooting against the United States of America. That is, to me, is not good. That, to me, is not a sustainable situation. More from the president at the NATO conference just moments ago.
If we didn't take it out, they wouldn't have settled. Somebody mentioned that to me last night. If that thing wasn't devastated, they would have never settled.
Great point.
Yeah. No, first of all, on the stuff about the intelligence, this is what a leaker is telling you the intelligence says. That's the game these people play. They read it, and then they go out and characterize it the way they want it characterized, and they're leakers. This is the game they play. So that's number one. Number two, here's a fact. The conversion facility, which you can't do a nuclear weapon without a conversion facility. We can't even find where it is, where it used to be on the map. You can't even find where it used to be because the whole thing is just blackened out. It's gone.
It's wiped out.
It's wiped out. Then we dropped 12 of the strongest bombs on the planet right down the hole in two places. Everything underneath that mountain is in bad shape. And I refer you to the statement of the IAEA, Mr. Grossi. Yes. You know what he said? He said there was Iran the way it looked the day before the attack and what their nuclear program looks like now. Two very different things. They are way behind where they were just 7 days ago. Now, anything in the world can be rebuilt, but now we know where it is. And if they try to rebuild it, we'll have options there as well. But all this leaker stuff, these leakers are professional stabbers. That's what they are. They go out and they read this stuff and then they tell you what it says against the law, but they characterize it for you in a way that's absolutely false. There's no way Iran comes to the table if somehow nothing had happened. This was complete and total obliteration. They're in bad shape. They are way behind today compared to where they were just 7 days ago because of what the president did.
Marco, can I just alert you to one other aspect? So the great thing is you took out the nuclear capability of Iran. This was crucial. You did it in a way which is extremely impressive. But the signal sends to the rest of the world that this president, when it comes to it, yes, he is a man of peace, but if necessary, he is willing to use strength, the enormous strength of the American military. So I think that signal to the rest of the world, this is far beyond Iran, is extremely important. So let me also point us to that aspect of what happens.
They went down, Iran went down to the site afterwards. They said it's so devastated, and they settled when they saw what we did to it. And frankly, if we didn't do that, they would have had a lot of ammunition to keep going. They wouldn't have settled. Somebody brought that up, and two Iranians went down to see it.
Again, a really great point by the president. If the strike was so unsuccessful, like the New York Times wants it to be, right? I think it would be accurate to say that the media outlets like the New York Times want the Ayatollah, want the supreme leader of Iran to have the ability to enrich uranium. I don't think that that's a far off assessment, right? Because these people hate America. So all of that said, this point that is being made by Trump and by Marco Rubio, if the attack failed and didn't really set back anything substantially, why the hell would the Iranians agree to a ceasefire? If nothing was severely damaged and they can be back up in the matter of 3 months, why did they surrender? Why did they agree to a ceasefire with Israel? They could just continue to shoot off ballistic missiles for the next 3 months and have their refining capabilities back. I mean, just inherently, without knowing anything about the intelligence, without knowing anything about the bombs themselves or knowing about how effective they were or weren't, why would the Iranians agree to a ceasefire if the United States did not deal a decisive blow Saturday evening? Right? Inherently, it just doesn't make any sense. You don't need to have a PhD in bombs to understand that situation. But the media wants to continue to run with this narrative, and it's disgusting.
And they called back and they said, this place is gone. So it's just fake news by CNN, which has got no ratings. It's a failed network. Anybody here from CNN, by the way? Because you're a really disgraceful network. MSNBC, I think, is actually worse. But they're all pretty bad. But yours is good, Katie, I'll tell you.
You know what
Marco reminded me that he did such a nice job there. It was 9 years ago I had to debate this guy. He was not easy. I think he even got better. But when you were into your little thing, I said, this is when I had to debate this guy. You think it's easy to debate him? It's not easy.
How long do you think that the Iranian nuclear program has been put back by these strikes? Years or totally?
I think basically decades, because I don't think they'll ever do it again. I just don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to take their oil. They're going to have some missiles, and they'll have some defense. I think they've had it. I mean, they just went through hell. I think they've had it. The last thing they want to do is enrich. They've been trying to do it. By the way, it's hard to enrich. And, you know, when you look at a site like that, very, very hard to build. Very, very hard. Very expensive. They spent trillions of dollars trying to do this thing, and they didn't come up with it. And we're actually getting along with them very well right now. But had we not succeeded with that hit ended the war. That hit ended the war. I don't want to use an example of Hiroshima. I don't want to use an example of Nagasaki. But that was essentially the same thing. That ended that war. This ended that with the war. If we didn't take that out, they'd be fighting right now.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
If the Iranians do rebuild, would the United States...
If they rebuild?
Would the United States strike again? And I have a question about Russia.
But I'm not going to have to worry about that. It's gone for years. It's very tough to rebuild because the whole thing has collapsed. In other words, inside, it's all collapsed. Nobody can get in to see it because it's collapsed. You can't go in to see a room that has, you know, 10 million tons of rock in it. And the tunnels are totally collapsed.
But they rebuild.
Well, they've already looked at the tunnels. This was an unbelievable hit by genius pilots and genius people in the military, and they're not being given credit for it because we have scum that's in this group, and not all of you are. You have some great reporters, but you have scum. CNN is scum. MSDNC is scum. The New York Times is scum. They're bad people. They're sick. And what they've done is they're trying to make this unbelievable victory into something less. Now, even they admit that it was hit very hard, okay? But it wasn't hit hard. It was hit brutally, and it knocked it out. The original word that I use, I guess it got us in trouble because it's a strong word. It was obliteration. And you'll see that. And it's going to come out. Israel is doing a report on it now, I understand. And I was told that they said it was total obliteration. You know, they have guys that go in there after the hit, and they say it was total obliteration. And, you know, I don't want it for me. I want it for the pilots. I want it for the military. They did such a good job. If you were in the Situation Room with me, with the generals and all of the people that did such a good job, and then they get demeaned by these idiots at CNN who can't get ratings, the place is dying. Nobody wants to even waste their time going on their shows. So they form with the New York Times, who's dying also. Without Trump, you wouldn't have a New York Times.
And then just changing gears to your meeting with Zelensky later today.
So I'm going to pause that for a second. I just saw this post pop up on my X feed while we were listening to the commentary there from President Trump in the Netherlands. This is a report breaking just moments ago. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson says its nuclear installations were, quote, badly damaged by American airstrikes. This was posted 5 minutes, 6 minutes ago on X. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson says its nuclear installations, quote, badly damaged by American airstrikes. So there you go. You've got the United States saying so. Now you've got the Iranian foreign ministry saying so. But CNN, the New York Times, MSNBC, and I'm very curious. I haven't done this. I haven't looked this morning over at what the MSNBC headlines are. Those are always a fun little game to play and see exactly what's going on. Yeah, here we go. Here's a great story. Trump wants to declare mission accomplished on Iran. Not so fast. White House slams Intel suggesting Iran's nuclear sites were not obliterated. Right? That's the narrative that they're running with. So do these guys want the Iranians to have nuclear weapons? Again, is that an unfair assessment of this whole situation? Is that an unfair assessment of the left and what they truly want? I don't think so. Trump calls them scum. Hard to disagree with that statement with everything that I've had the pleasure and opportunity to read over the last 24 hours. I mean, they just continue to run with this nonsense narrative. This is what's going on over at CNN right now. Trump maintains Iran strikes caused total obliteration. Trump argues attacks put Iran's nuclear ambitions back decades, but admits Intel report was inconclusive. Well, no shit, the Intel report is inconclusive. We don't have boots on the ground in Iran. Nobody has been there to look at it yet. The report is inconclusive. Yes, you are correct. Maybe CNN ought to paratrooper one of their journalists in down one of those holes, and they can report back as to what's going on. I think that's a good idea. Maybe the New York Times can drop some friendly reporters and we'll see how the Iranians and, you know, that the great country that they are, the very inclusive society that exists over in Iran. Maybe these media outlets can throw some of their reporters over there and, you know, free press, right? That should exist in the Iranian government, right? And then they can get down there and see exactly what's going on. Maybe that's what should happen. I think that's a great idea. That's what the president should be calling for. CNN, the New York Times, MSNBC. Hey, the United States will charter a plane. We're not going to land, of course, in Iran, but we'll fly you over the site and you guys can jump out with a parachute and you can go take a look at the damage yourself and then report back. If you're not, of course, killed by the Iranians in the meantime. If you're not oppressed in your ability to freely report the news. Maybe that's what should happen. These guys are just unfreaking bearable. Yes, of course, the report is inconclusive. It's been like 4 days. Nobody has been there. But from all of the intelligence that we do have, because again, you can't physically see the damage 300 feet underground. I know that's a hard concept for the New York Times. But let's just set this back for a second. We got to take a break here in a minute. But just let me play this out. Let's assume the site was not buried underground. And it was hit by these MOPs or some sort of other United States munitions dropped from B-52s or some other sort of bomb or some other sort of plane. Or the B-2s, excuse me, not the B-52s, the B-2. What do you think they'd be saying then? Right? Because it'd still have to be negative. You'd see the headlines like, even though nuclear site completely wiped off the map, completely washed away, the Iranians still saying they're going to fight back. Iranians still saying that they're going to enrich uranium, right? It's never going to be enough. And this is one of the things that I love about the current status of the Republicans. And a lot of this comes from President Donald Trump. No longer are we cowering down to the media. No longer are Republicans feeling like they can't speak up because they don't want to be buried by the media. Donald Trump sets this tone and sets this narrative for Republicans across the country. We are no longer going to put up with this garbage commentary from the left. We are going to call it out. We are going to call them out and we are going to shame them. That's the status that needs to be taken. You see it from other individuals. Donald Trump spearheaded and pioneered these efforts back in 2015 and 2016. He led this charge, and it's so great to see that other individuals now. I played the clip last week or earlier this week from Marco Rubio on CBS News. I mean, you've got Margaret Brennan on CBS just trying to steamroll the Secretary of State, and Rubio goes, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm the one that knows. I'm the Secretary of State. You're just some talking head on CBS News. Don't tell me how intelligence works. I am the one that knows how this process works. You don't. Calling out the media on their garbage, calling out the media on their nonsense. I love it. I saw a clip yesterday from some here, and you had some Democrat in Congress pull up a chart of some Quinnipiac poll. The numbers ended up being totaling 110%. Right? A poll asking somebody a question equals 100%. You can't have more than 100%. But the numbers on this big whiteboard equaled 110. Two of the Republicans on the panel say, that's obviously a fake poll. You can't have 110 respondents. That's not how percentages work. And I just love that we're calling this garbage and calling this nonsense out. We've got a couple more minutes of Trump over in NATO. One of the other big things set to be discussed over the next few days is NATO countries putting more of their GDP percentage into NATO. President Donald Trump spearheading that as well. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a few minutes. Before that, I want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust right here in the law group. Since 2003, for over 20 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong criminal defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, ladies and gentlemen. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088. You can also visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. I had the pleasure of working with the folks at the law group, actually it'll be 5 years ago next month, as I went through the process of purchasing my home. Phenomenal top quality service and support from the folks over at the law group. Visit them online, lawgroupnc.com. The law group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the law group and their continued support in allowing me to do this show every morning. I appreciate the law group and their continued support. More from NATO coming up here in just a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live this Wednesday morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. A good Wednesday morning to you. Thanks for sticking with us here on the Nick Craig Show. A busy news day, a busy news week, really, all things considered. President Donald Trump is out of the country this morning. He is in the Netherlands at The Hague for the NATO summit that is continuing throughout this week. One of the big discussions is other countries increasing their spending into NATO. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I've got just a couple minutes left of this question and answer session that happened with the president not long ago this morning. Let's continue with that right now.
Today, can you give us any preview of what the two of you might be discussing?
No, well, we'll discuss the obvious. We'll discuss his difficulty. He's got a little difficulty. Zelensky, he's a nice guy. I mean, I'm going to meet him today. I don't know. I assume we're going to be discussing Ukraine.
Yes.
I mean, it seems like the most likely subject.
Can you restart talks there or anything that you might do?
Well, we're going to see. I mean, I've spoken to Putin a lot, and he actually was very nice. He volunteered help on, as you know, on Iran. I said, no, I don't need help on Iran. I need help on Russia. Okay? I said, exactly. Do me a favor. Sure. Help us on Russia, not on Iran. But he was very nice. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk. I think progress is being made. I think great progress is being made on Gaza. I think because of this attack that we made, I think we're going to have some very good news. I was talking to Steve Witkoff, who, by the way, is terrific, and who knows more about this subject than anybody, the subject of what we were just talking about. He was on last night with Jesse and with Laura and with Sean. And, boy, Susie, he has a great take on it. He just explains it so easily. He's really very knowledgeable. But he did tell me that Gaza is very close.
Don't we have to go to the other side?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, should we go?
One follow-up on Iran. Both you and Secretary Rubio and Hegseth mentioned the leader. But can you clarify, is the intelligence correct or is the intelligence wrong?
Well, the intelligence was very inconclusive. Okay. The intelligence says, we don't know. It could have been very severe. That's what the intelligence says. So I guess that's correct. But I think we can take the we don't know. It was very severe. It was obliteration. And you'd think that a media outlet would say, isn't that a great thing? I mean, more importantly for the pilots, for the military, you take their guts out. You take their absolute guts out. They had a tremendous attack. It was a complete obliteration. The other team, the other group, Iran, said, let's stop this. And you know what? Israel said it too. Very smart. They fought like hell, and then they said, let's stop. And they're going to build themselves. And I really see it as sticking. I mean, we may do papers on it, Marco. Maybe we're going to do papers. I don't even know if you need them. They're not going to be fighting each other. They've had it. They've had a big fight, like two kids in a schoolyard. You know, they fight like hell. You can't stop them. Let them fight for about 2-3 minutes. Then it's easy to stop them.
And then daddy has to sometimes use strong language.
You have to use strong language. Every once in a while, you have to use a certain word.
I think we have to join the other side.
Yes, we're going to join some other group. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Katie, thank
one last question. Do you believe
she's so good. That's the only reason I
thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
She used to be very difficult, but now
Katie Pavlich, I think, is who he's talking about.
Do you believe that this strike on the Iranian nuclear program will lead to the release of the hostages in Gaza?
I think that it helped a little bit. It showed a lot of power. Yeah, I think it helped. But we're going to get separately, even before this, we were very close to making a deal on Gaza. I think this helped, yes. Okay? Thank you, Katie.
Thank you,
everybody.
All right. So that's the president live at NATO this morning. The Hague taking place yesterday, today, and tomorrow. One of the big things being discussed over there, and I started this clip a little bit late because this was one of the first discussions, is that members of NATO, and this again was another effort really spearheaded by President Donald Trump, was increasing defense spending to 5% of GDP. This has been one of Donald Trump's big things for a long time. You go back to the 2016, Trump was the 45th president. He was very critical of NATO, and rightfully so. Right, so many of these entities, NATO included, the United States puts in far more than many of these other countries. The United States brings far more to the table. And when you really look at it, it's a terrible investment for the United States. Why is it that the United States is obligated? Why is it that the United States has to be the one that is putting in so much to all of these various groups, the UN, NATO? The U.S. has got to fund the vast majority of this stuff, while all of these other countries, particularly those throughout Europe, just sit on their hands and allow the United States to pay for this stuff. President Trump started calling this stuff out in his first term, continually mentioning that the United States getting taken advantage of. That's nothing new. It's unfortunate, but that's the United States always is the one to step up to the table with your and I's money and help out God knows whatever situation is unfolding. So back to the beginning of this press conference that took place earlier this morning, one of the early pieces of discussion between the Secretary General and President Donald Trump was some of this NATO increased funding. Let's tune back into this.
Your goals for NATO and Article 5 today?
We're with them all the way. I mean, if you take a look at the numbers, we're with them. And they're very big things to announce today. I don't know if you've taken the vote or you're going to take the vote, but I've been asking them to go up to 5% for a number of years, and they're going up to 5%, and that's a big, from 2%. And a lot of people didn't even pay the 2%. So I think it's going to be very big news. NATO is going to become very strong with us. And I appreciate doing it. And perhaps you want to talk
about it. Yeah, absolutely. Let me first, before I go to spending, I just want to recognize your decisive action on Iran.
Thank you.
You are a man of strength, but you're also a man of peace. And the fact that you are now also successful in getting this ceasefire done between Israel and Iran, I really want to commend you for that.
Thank you.
And I think this is important for the whole world. Then on spending, it's absolutely true. I want to state here, without President Trump, this would not have happened. In three stages. When you became president in 2016, 2017, you forced Europeans and Canadians to pay more. At this moment,
yes, 100%. Stop that right there. Up until the point that Donald Trump came into office, most of these failing, ridiculously stupid countries throughout Europe were giving nothing in terms of percentage to NATO. In some cases, literally nothing. Yet they were part of NATO, getting all the benefits of being part of NATO. And who was picking up the slack? The United States of America. Donald Trump, and if you'll remember this, you have to go way back in your memory to pull this back. But when Trump first started talking about this stuff, do you remember the calamity from the left? Oh my God, Donald Trump is going to pull us out of NATO. NATO's going to collapse because Donald Trump is mean and terrible. I mean, that's what the media coverage was at the time. Because all of these other countries are just sitting on their ass, not doing anything, not providing any substantial value to NATO, and the United States was picking up the tab. Trump said, this is absurd. This is ridiculous. NATO is supposed to be all of these countries getting together. Why the hell are none of them doing it? And why is the United States the one that is responsible for the vast majority of the funding? He called it out, and here's the NATO secretary admitting just that point. Let me roll this back a couple seconds.
You are now also successful in getting this ceasefire done between Israel and Iran. I really want to commend you for that.
Thank you.
And I think this is important for the whole world. Then on spending, it's absolutely true. I want to state here, without President Trump, this would not have happened. In three stages. When you became president in 2016, 2017, you forced Europeans and Canadians to pay more. At this moment, the result of that phase is $1 trillion extra aggregate defense spending by the Canadians and the Europeans. Then came phase two, when you became president in January last year. Phase two is that all the countries not yet on 2% have now committed to the 2%. This is the old goal from Wales in 2014. Seven were not on 2%. Some were saying somewhere in the 2030s. Now this year, all of them, including Canada, including Italy, including Belgium, they have all now committed to the 2%. And now comes the big splash. Today, we will decide to go to 5%. We have to keep ourselves safe for our adversaries, but also because it is fair to equalize with the United States. With this 5%, the Europeans and the Canadians will equalize their defense spending with the United States. So this is not about American taxpayers paying more. This is about Europeans, Canadians paying more. And again, this would not have happened. I'm really saying this here. And some people might criticize me, but then when I speak with them, they all say, yes, you're right. This would not have happened if you would not have been elected in 2016 and re-elected last year and back into office in January. So I want to thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? This would not have, literally would not have happened. There is the NATO Secretary General saying that this would not have happened without Donald Trump. You don't need to split any hairs. There's no tea leaves to read. There's no reading between the lines. That's exactly what the NATO Secretary just said. Trump led this charge back in 2016 and 2017, forced these weak European nations, forced Canada to say, cut out the crap and increase your spending into NATO. It's not the United States' problem to fund essentially all of NATO while you guys sit back and get all of the benefits. He made that point. He's making it once again. And the vote, I think, is set to happen tomorrow. But this new deal, which came in the wake of pressure from Trump and the Trump administration, stipulates that at least 3.5% of GDP must be spent directly on military needs, while an additional 1.5% can be devoted to related defense costs. While socialist-run Spain had initially threatened to block the agreement, Madrid saying just yesterday that it has dropped such plans after securing an exemption from the new spending target. Spain has frequently failed to meet the current NATO spending obligation of 2% of GDP, including last year when it ranked dead last among all NATO members, having spent just 1.28% of its GDP on defense. Embattled Spain Prime Minister said that the scale of the expected military investment is, quote, disappointing and unnecessary, while openly declaring that his nation would not abide by the requirement. Oh, really? Okay. Well, then next time Spain needs some help, next time somebody is threatening Spain, I guess they can just deal with it themselves. It sure as hell ain't going to be NATO's problem, right? I mean, if you don't have the money to invest, that's fine. But don't look to the United States, which is, again, the predominant factor in NATO. Don't look at the United States to come and clean up your messes. Don't look at the United States to come solve your problems if you're unwilling to invest into NATO. And so this vote is, again, scheduled to happen at some point. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, this 5% vote, which will, over the next probably 5 or 6 years, force all of these other NATO countries, including Canada, to increase their spending to that 5% benchmark threshold that NATO is set to vote on. You've got a couple of countries like Spain and Poland. Poland is the stupidest example out of all of it. Literally, Russia is on their doorstep. Russia is literally currently invading another country geographically right next to Poland. And they're like, we're not increasing our spending. We're not going to do that. Meanwhile, if, and obviously I'm not hoping that this happens, but if you've, God forbid, Russia was to try and make some sort of incursion on Poland, they'd be the first ones yelling and screaming, crying to NATO that they need help, that they need support. One of the things, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, one of the things about having strong leadership in the United States is it really and truly does set essentially the international conversation. When you have got a strong leader like Donald Trump in the Oval Office, and you've seen the effects of that literally over just the last couple of days, but when you've got that strong leader occupying the Oval Office, you see strength from the United States and influence from the United States throughout literally the entire world. I mean, you just heard from the NATO Secretary General that had Trump not won in 2016 and originally called on all of these countries to get up to 2%, And had he had not won in November of last year and called these countries to get up to 5%, it would not have happened. And as the secretary noted, that is equal to an extra $1 trillion in defense spending between the European and Canadian allies in NATO. That is a substantial, a significant impact and increase. And the president, with his America First agenda, is saying, sure, we'll take part in NATO. Sure, we'll play your game, but so does everybody else. There's no more and there's no longer going to be a free lunch for all of these other countries to essentially take advantage of the United States. Those days are over with. And you compare and contrast that to the previous administration. You compare and contrast that to the likes of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Everybody was walking all over us because we didn't have any strength. We weren't expressing any strength from the top, from the Oval Office, from the position of President of the United States. And so why were all of these countries throughout South America allowing these migrant caravans to just waltz their way through the countries, making their way to the U.S.-Mexico border? Because what the hell was the United States going to do? Was Joe Biden going to stand up and say anything? No, he was too busy watching reruns of television shows and eating ice cream in the White House, in the residence. That wasn't an issue. They didn't have to worry about the United States stepping in. Why did Russia decide that they were going to invade another sovereign nation? Because they knew damn well that Joe Biden wasn't going to do anything. And in fact, he didn't. Besides sending billions of dollars over to Ukraine to be pissed away, he didn't do anything. Why did Hamas, the Iranian-backed proxy terror group operating in the Gaza Strip, why did they attack Israel via paramotors on a Saturday back in October of 2023? Same result, because they knew that the United States wouldn't do anything. And that is really the big compare and contrast of what the last 4 years have looked like and what the last 6 months have looked like. I mean, it is a stark difference from what we've seen in the past. I am incredibly grateful for President Donald Trump, for Secretary Hegseth, for J.D. Vance, for Marco Rubio, and the strength that they are expressing. I have continually felt this way, and I'm sure many of you feel the same. When the United States expresses strength, when the United States is seen as a strong nation that will make strong and tough decisions, the whole world tends to be a safer place. The whole world tends to just be more calm. Now, that doesn't mean that dictators, that doesn't mean that bad actors throughout the Middle East and, you know, dictators like Vladimir Putin and the likes aren't going to continue to try and cause hell and chaos and havoc. They will. They've got their vested interest. But there is significantly more pause, and there's a more significant threat when the United States is strong versus when the United States is weak. So great commentary there from the president over in The Hague in the Netherlands this morning, calling out the media, calling out this ridiculous nonsense report. And again, just coming in a little bit ago, Iran's foreign ministry saying that its nuclear installations were, quote, badly damaged by American airstrikes. So I guess we'll see if the New York Times or CNN or any of these other ridiculous entities have anything else to say now that that report has come out. I would argue from, you know, a source that might know. Now, again, the Iranian foreign ministry, the Iranian government tends to not be the most truthful entity, but I don't know why they'd be publicly saying that their installations were badly damaged if they weren't. So we'll wait and see. We'll wait for more military assessment on the whole situation. We'll keep an eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for a Wednesday edition. Thanks to the Law Group for their continued support. LawGroupNC.com is their website. Give them a call at 910-251-6088. Thanks for joining us live this morning, 7 a.m. on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Or if you're listening after the fact, appreciate you listening on our podcast 24/7. That's going to do it for the Nick Craig Show. Have a great day.